I've been reading a book and I've been studying it and looking at it and trying to get through it. I've taken my time to go through it because it's just so full of really good thoughts. It's not a big book, but I find myself stopping and looking at it and looking up verses and meditating on some thoughts. And last week I touched on it a little bit, and that's this idea of the awesomeness of God and who He is. And as I was reading and studying, there's a phrase out of Psalm 33 that was sticking out in my mind. And I want to share that with you. And we're going to look at Psalm 33. I was going to make notes for you tonight. I was preparing to do that. I was sitting at my computer to do that. And then I got invited to go out for Chinese. I said, forget the notes. You're not getting any. But the Chinese was pretty good. And I'm sorry about it. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, the waiter at the Chinese restaurant right down here at the carousel. We've built kind of a relationship with him. I don't think I can pronounce his name, let alone remember it. It's one of those Chinese names, but he always remembers us, and we joke back and forth a little bit. And I invited him to come to church as I was leaving the restaurant tonight, and he said, "Oh, I got one son, and I need to do that." But I said, "Yeah, you need to do that." And so, just pray for him. I don't know his name, but just remember him. We all need to be doing what we can to glorify the Lord. Psalm 33, the phrase I just want to jump off from is found in verse 8, in the end of the verse. The end of the verse. Psalm 33, verse 8. If you forget everything else, just remember these few words. And then we'll go through some of these other things that I got out of this verse, out of this psalm as I was studying it. But the last bit of that verse, the last half of Psalm 33, verse 8. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. You know, that makes all the difference in the world. You know why we sometimes have a hard time witnessing or speaking up for Christ? Because we're standing in awe of something other than God. Hello? All right, we're standing in awe of someone other than God. Okay? And that means the word awe has in it a bit of fear. Have you ever stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon? How many of you stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon? That terrifies me. I'm scared to death of heights. I don't mind heights if I'm in an airplane, but I don't even want to get close to the end of a railing and look down too much if it's still too high. I don't like that. I get this. Hello again. And I get this. I get like vertigo or something. I'm afraid I'm going to fall, and it scares me to death. They tell me in Chicago they have we used to go to the Sears Tower. You know what Sears Tower is? It used to be the tallest building in America. And I understand in Sears Tower they actually were dumb enough to put a block of glass out the side of the observation center where you can actually walk out of the observation center and stand on glass and look straight down 110 stories or whatever it is. I will never do that. I don't care. I'm probably bigger than most people. I'll break it, so I'm not doing it. Now, I won't do that. I stand in awe. I'm afraid of that. When you stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon, there's an awe. It's beautiful, and you like to look at it, but there's a little bit of fear. I don't want to fall into that thing, right? Well, when we stand and look at God, we need to remember there is a little bit of fear. I mean, this is God. He is huge. He's amazing. He's our Creator. He's all these things. And He's so much bigger than us. And He holds our very breath in His hand. Just think about that. All it is, every time you breathe out, it's God that gives you the ability to breathe back in. You understand that? Your very life is in the hand of God. People need to understand that. And then when God gives us commands, it's because He's our God and He's going to hold us accountable for one day, for what we do with the commands that He gives to us. And if we lose our awe of Him, we just won't obey Him because we're not afraid of Him anymore. And I don't mean we should walk around trembling and cowering in the face of God. He's our loving God, and He means what's best for us. But at the same time, if He speaks, we ought to listen, right? Very important that we do. So tonight, as I was looking at Psalm 33, I want to look at this. And what I saw in this passage of Scripture, you got your Bibles? You ready to follow along? I saw in this passage of Scripture five commands we should obey every day. Five commands we should obey every day. How many? Five commands we should obey every day. Eight reasons for hope for each day. Eight reasons for hope for each day. And then one prayer to pray each day. Okay? So let's look at these things real quickly as we go through this thing. And I do want to have some time to pray tonight and to thank the Lord for His goodness to us as a church. I think Corporate prayer is really important to a local church. It really is important that we pray together as a church, and we encourage each other that way. If you don't pray publicly, you're not going to pray much privately, so it's good for us to pray together. All right, so five commands we should obey every day. Look at verse 1. Command number 1, you tell me what it is. Rejoice in the Lord. We sang that song. All right, that's a command. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. Rejoice in the Lord. If you wake up every day and you're grumpy and grouchy and all that sort of thing, you're never going to be a good witness for the Lord. You're not. Why is pastor so effective as our pastor sometimes? I don't know that I've ever seen him grumpy. Now, he's got relatives in the room. They probably have, but I haven't. I haven't. But the reason that he's effective is that he's got the joy of the Lord in his life, right? And if we want to be effective witness for the Lord, how in the world are we going to be good witnesses if we're walking around with our bottom lip dragging and we're stepping on it all the time? You know, how are we going to do that? We need to learn to rejoice in the Lord. And the New American Standard says, sing for joy. The English Standard Version says, shout for joy. Another translation says, be glad in the Lord. That's the whole idea here. And we're all supposed to be doing these things. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Now, who's supposed to do that? You tell me. Who? In the verse. Look at the verse. Who is supposed to do this? The righteous. The righteous are supposed to do this. Right. Who's the righteous? That's those who know the Lord. Right? We're not righteous because we're any good, but because God's imputed His righteousness to our account. And so because God's given us a reason to rejoice, we should rejoice. Right? We are righteous because of what God's done for us. So let's praise Him. Right? Why should we praise Him? Because praise is comely for the upright, is what it says. Or praise is befitting, or praise is becoming. Or praise makes you look good and makes God look good. Again, do you like to be around grumpy people? I confess I get grumpy sometimes. Usually in the morning when my wife wakes me up, I'm grumpy. I walk around bumping into things for a while. That doesn't make me happy. But then I get going, it's all right. But until we get up and get a smile on our face and get the joy of the Lord in our lives, we're not looking very good for the Lord. But when we do, we can be a blessing. All right? Verse 2 has got the second command. What's the second command? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That means you have to look for something to be praising God for. What's something you can praise God for? We've already talked about some of these things. A new day. If nothing else, praise God that you breathed in one more time than you breathed out. Right? We talked about that. Everything about us, we've got reasons to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How? It says in verse 2, with stringed instruments. Now, not all of us can play a stringed instrument. We got piano players. We got violin players. It says we do it with a stringed instrument. Everything that you can make noise with, you need to praise the Lord for it. All right? All right, so command number 1, rejoice in the Lord. Command number 2, praise the Lord. Command number 3, verse 3, what's that? Sing to the Lord. How many of you like to sing? Most of you do. You do pretty well. You know, and it doesn't say sing on key. It just says sing, right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And some of us can find the notes and others can't. That's all right. Praise the Lord. You ought to have a song in your heart thinking about the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. What are we supposed to sing? A new song, right? That doesn't necessarily mean the top of the charts song, the next one that came out. A new song. It's a different song than what the world sings. It's a song that was different. It's different than what you sang before you became a Christian. All right? It's a song. It's new. It's new. It's different than the world's. And we're supposed to be singing those things. And I think we should learn some new songs. But you know, these songs we sing, some of these old songs that we sing in our hymn book were new at one time. But they still are different than anything the world sings too, right? It's got to be different. We got to be distinct in what we sing and the way we sing things, for sure. To glorify the Lord and not just entertain people. All right, so command number 1, rejoice in the Lord. Command number 2, praise the Lord. Command number 3, sing unto the Lord. Command number 4, second half of verse 3, what's that say? Play skillfully before the Lord. I know that's talking about instruments and being able to play your instruments well. And that's why we need to practice if we have the ability to play a horn or play a piano or play the radio, whatever. We need to practice and do this a lot. But I think also just our lives, the way we go about our lives can be done in a way that is skillfully. It makes a beautiful music in the eyes of the Lord. Just living our lives in a way that pleases Him. And we're to sing how, according to verse 3? With a loud noise, right? How do you like to go to church where everybody's going, amazing grace? How sweet the sound. No. I confess. Rick? Yeah? You thought it was great? Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't always get to sit in the front row. I don't always get to stand in the pulpit and lead the singing. Every once in a while, I sneak around in the back of the auditorium. And I sit in the back row. And it's awful. And I'm not saying it's the person. But it seems like the farther you get away from the song leader, the less people sing. You ever notice that? So let me encourage you. If you sit in the back row, sing loud. Get the rest of the people in front of you singing. They'll be terrified, so they'll sing too. All right? But sing. No, we're supposed to sing loud. Don't be ashamed of what God's done for you. Be praising the Lord the best that you possibly can. Play skillfully for the Lord. How? With a loud noise. We want to be able to hear this. You know, we're singing all the way to heaven, by the way, so we might as well get loud, right? Not obnoxious, just loud. Now, the next few verses talk about why. Why? Verse 4. Why should we sing skillfully or play skillfully or sing to the Lord? Verse 4, you tell me. Why should we sing? For what? For the word of the Lord is right. Hey, we've got the answer. Let's sing about it, right? For the word of the Lord is right. What's another reason in verse 4? Everything he does is right. I can sing about a God like that, right? All right, let's go to verse 5. What else? What's another reason why we should rejoice and praise the Lord? He loveth righteousness and judgment. Right. God has always done the right thing. Whenever there's a judgment made, God does the right thing. And he enjoys hearing those things. Right. Verse 5, the second part. What else should we rejoice in the Lord for, praise the Lord for? The earth is full of his goodness. I read a quote the other day that was pretty good. Every blade of grass, every color in the spectrum, should thrill our hearts because it all came from God. And it all points to the beauty of the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. When we get to heaven, there's going to be spectacular colors and all sorts of things everywhere. Don't let the rainbow flag make you afraid of rainbows. God gave it to us, right? And he didn't give it to us for the reason they use it for. We ought to be so grateful and so thankful for everything that God has done for us. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Verse 6, what else should we rejoice in the Lord for? Why? Creation, right? He made this world. So let's rejoice in it. The second part. The host of them, he just spoke it and it happened. Can you do that? The only thing I can do is if I'm in a cold weather, I can make a cloud. That's about the only thing I can do. The other thing I can do with my breath is knock people out sometimes. But God creates things, right? Verse 7, what else? He gathers the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. God's in charge of all this, the oceans and the depths of it. And it all stays there. And it's not going to drown us all the time. All right, there's a fifth command. All right, and a fourth command. Verse 8, what is that? Fear the Lord. Second part of the verse, another command. Stand in awe of the Lord. We already read about that, right? Fear the Lord. Again, that's the idea here. So those five commands ought to stick with us. Now, we've got 8 reasons there, and I'm going to let you look for them. There's 8 reasons for hope each day. I'm going to look at them here. Verse 10, I'm just going to hit them quickly because I want to have time for prayer, okay? Now, verse 10, God is smarter than we are. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. So God's smarter than we are. That's a reason for hope. No matter how hard our situation is, you take it to the Lord, he's going to have a solution better than the one you can come up with, right? Verse 11, another reason for hope. God's thoughts will last longer than our thoughts. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart are relevant, the thoughts of his heart to all generations, right? So God's thoughts are going to last longer than our thoughts. No matter what we think, we compare our thoughts to God's thoughts. If our thoughts don't match up with God's thoughts, we better bring them into captivity to his thoughts, right? Start thinking like God. You got to be in God's Word. Whenever I run into people who are having trouble, and they're down in the mouth, and they're discouraged, or they're away from the Lord, I ask the question often, when did you stop reading your Bible? Not, have you stopped reading your Bible? I know they've stopped reading their Bible. Because if they're doing wrong, and they're living wrong, and they're not doing right, it's because they're out of God's Word. If they're down and discouraged, because they're not reading God's Word. Get back in God's Word. Every time you'll find encouragement. Keep reading until you find it. And don't start in like Zechariah. You know, but find some place and find yourself something that would be an encouragement to you. All right? If you're discouraged, read Psalms and just read them over and over again. You'll find something there for you. Right? All right. Something else. Verse 12. The well-being of a nation is tied to its relationship with God. A reason for hope is that if we trust in the Lord, He's going to take care of our nation and the problems. Our nation's got problems, right? But blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That it means the nation chooses God. And then the second part, blessed are the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Remember, God chooses us too. Right? All right. Another reason for hope. God is paying attention to what we're doing. Verse 13 and 14. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men for the place of His habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Do you ever feel alone? Do you ever feel lonely? You are never alone. When are you alone? I can't hear you. Never. You are never alone. You can feel lonely, but you're never alone because God's paying attention. And He's watching. And He cares. Everybody else in the world may not care, but God always cares. Just remember that. Remember that. God's paying attention to what we're doing. Verse 15, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. God knows what's going on inside your body sometimes in ways you don't know what's going on inside there. He made your heart, right? He put all this together. He knows all the difficulties. He knows exactly what's going on. You can trust Him. God has more to do with the outcome of life's battles than we do. Verses 16 and 17, armies don't win wars. There's no king saved by the multitude of an host. Military training and strength doesn't win wars. Mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Horses and human weaponry don't win wars. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. All of this is in the hands of God. I often think about Israel in that six-day war. They had all these enemies surrounding them. All these enemies. And these Jewish people whooped everybody around him in 6 days. It was just if you ever heard this, ever studied the history of that war, you have to know God did that. Dr. Bob Jones Jr. used to talk about that. He used to talk about how they would be a big group of people would be getting ready to attack, an army would be getting ready to attack, and then all of a sudden they'd get up and leave and just run away. It was because God had created something in their minds where they heard something bigger than them coming at them, and they all got terrified and ran away. And that happened over and over again in history, not just there. See, God's in charge. I often think of that time. Mark talks about it, about the time when Israel was surrounded by the Syrians and they had over 185,000 people coming at them. And the Bible says they all woke up dead men, 185,000 dead men. And then they went home. They said, we don't have enough armies to defeat them. And it's because God sent one little angel over there and said, take those guys out. Right? Amazing. Amazing. All right, let's go on here. Number 7 reason for hope. God is concerned for the well-being of His children. Verse 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I think of Elijah by the brook Cherith and God feeding him. And then a little widow woman, and he kept providing for her. And then providing for him through that. You can go to Bible story after Bible story and find how God took care of His people, providing manna in the wilderness for millions of people. God is concerned about these things. And you know what? As long as God wants you alive, you're going to be alive. As long as God wants you to have something to eat, He's going to have something there for you to eat. When He's ready to take you home, He's going to take you home. And it's okay. Don't threaten me with heaven, right? Right? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Aren't you thankful that we have a God like that? I want to be an encouragement to you as we go through the rest of this week. Let's look at one more thing. God's promise. Another reason for hope. God can be trusted to accomplish His will in His timing. Our soul, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. We can trust God. You can trust God. You have a reason for hope all the time. Even when everybody else seems to be against you, God's for you. Okay, so let's hit that last thing, the prayer. We talked about 5 commands, 8 reasons for hope, and 1 prayer for every day. Look at that last verse, verse 22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Lord, I trust you. Please take care of me. And he says he will, right? He says he will. He said that all through all those things of hope. So when we get into our struggles, and we have them, you have trouble at work, you have trouble with the kids, you have trouble with your car, you have a hard time paying the bills, Lord, help me, please. And he'll give you what you need. Sufficient unto the day is their evil thereof. And he'll get you through day by day and with each passing moment. All right? All right, so you got some things to praise the Lord for, if nothing else. You got some things to hope in. You got a single prayer that's been given to you to pray. Let's split up in groups of about three or four, and let's pray together for a while. About 10 minutes, and then we'll close in prayer. Okay? It's okay. Move your chairs. It's okay. You don't have to stay there. It's all right. Pray together. Let's pray together. You guys going to pray with me? Pray with these guys.